This morning, if you're able, take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. We continue on this journey through Hebrews 11. We made it down to verse 30. We're going to look at verse 30 and 31. It says, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you again for the many, many accounts of those who have faith and have kept the faith all throughout their lives. And Father, even though these people are not perfect, these people were not without sin, these people did make mistakes in their life, and yet you still use them, showing us today that even our lives, no matter how bad we have blown it, no matter what things we've done in the past, you're willing to use us if we're just willing to be used of you. So I pray this morning, Father, that our faith would increase, that we would be found faithful when our Lord and Savior comes. And I pray, Father, that you would be lifted up and glorified. I ask this morning that you give me boldness to proclaim your word, that you give me the very words to speak this morning. And we thank you for all that you're going to accomplish, for it's in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to lay a little foundation this morning to do with Joshua here. He's now been appointed as the leader of the Israeli people by God himself. And Joshua was born while the people were slaves in Egypt. He went through the great events of the Passover in Exodus chapter 12, and the Exodus with Moses as all the Hebrew people who escaped from slavery in Egypt and all that. And by the way, all of that was at the hand of the Redeemer. All of that was because of God. You know, like I said this morning during the Sunday school, it was only because of God that we've been able to do what we can do with through missions. Everything is because of God's enabling grace. It's not just because things happen. These people out in the world that say everything just happens, it just happens, it just happens. No, it doesn't just happen. There's a reason for everything. And we don't always get to know that, what it is. But God is always out there taking care of things, and thank God he's taking care of us. Thank God he took care of them. In the wilderness of Sinai, Moses took his assistant, Joshua, with him when he went into the mountains to talk with God. You take your Bibles and turn over to Exodus chapter 24. We'll look at verses 12 and 13 there. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God." Now Moses went up higher than Joshua, but Joshua waited there for him. And though Moses was up there with God for a while, and 40 days and 40 nights, and Joshua waited. God was preparing Joshua. And it's interesting how we see how God's hand moves in people's lives, and we see what he's done to prepare them for certain things. And I look back at my life and how God called me to preach and how he was molding and making my life what he wanted. And then he called me to preach, and I thought, this is the wrong place, right? You got the wrong address, Lord, and all that. But no, as I look back on my life, I can see where God took me through certain things, just like he took Joshua through certain things to prepare him for what he had for his life. And people ask me, how do you know when God's called you to do something? God's calling everybody, by the way, right? God's calling everybody. It's just, are we willing to be used of God? You know, I think of the verse of Scripture when it says, "Here I am, Lord, send me," right? God used that Scripture in my life. And I think that here he is training Joshua for the great task ahead, right? Joshua is going to have a great task. Joshua doesn't know that at this point. God's working all that out. Sometimes we don't know what God has for us. We need to just be willing to follow his lead. So Joshua was of the tribe of Ephraim. In Numbers chapter 13 and verse 8, Numbers 13 and verse 8 says, of the tribe of Ephraim, Oshi, the son of Nun. Now, some will be thinking there, wait a minute, Oshi, thought we were looking at Joshua, right? Any inquiring minds in the audience this morning? Anybody here that said, wait a minute, how did that happen? Well, as I've said many times, if you just study, you just do a little more research, and in this case, all you have to do is just read a little further down, and if you get down to verse 16, you'll get what we're looking for. These are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land, and Moses called Oshi, the son of Nun, Jehoshua. Jehoshua. People, now, wait a minute. Jehoshua. Joshua. Is that the same? Well, if you follow the Bible, you'll find out that that's one and the same. Joshua's name in the Old Testament form of Jesus means Lord is salvation. By his name and by his life, he demonstrated the salvation that comes from God. At Moses' death, Joshua was chosen of God to be his successor. I've prayed and prayed and prayed that God would raise up people. We have missionaries, right? Get out the missionary list and you see we got some missionaries that are getting up there in age. Didn't say they're old. I'm just saying they're getting up there in age, right? I'm praying that God will raise up people that can come on behind and take over the works that were started by these men and women that we have been supporting for years. Because at some point in time, some of us are going to leave this world. The work has to continue on. As long as there's work to be done, we need people to fill those positions. So I've been praying that God would raise up people that could do that. God did that in this instant. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that Moses was not going to continue on. He knew that there needed to be a successor, and he chose Joshua. Now, a lot of people might, I'm not talking to us, but people there at that time might have said, well, how come Joshua? How come not me? Right? Isn't that how things work? Man said, well, why did God do that for them? Why didn't God do that for me? Well, are you willing to be used of God? Are you ready for whatever God might call you to do? I know, talking to somebody last week, it was like, I know that God has something for my life, but it's not blank, right? And you can fill in the blank. It could be whatever it is that you don't want to do. And I said, be careful what you tell God you're not willing to do, because that's where God will put you. We have to be careful. We have to be real careful. But Joshua led the Israelites to conquer the land. He supervised the division of the territory into the 12 tribes and led the people to renew their covenant with God. God used Joshua in a mighty way. But Joshua had to be prepared for what God had for him. When Joshua died at 110 years of age, we were talking this morning how people die at different ages, right? And some people very young, some people a little older, some people a little older than that, and some people make it into 100 years old. Joshua made it to 110, and he was buried in the land of his inheritance at Timnath-Serah. We see that over in Joshua 24:30. For sake of time, we won't go there, but it tells you there exactly where he was buried and all, and so you can follow that if you want over in Joshua 24, verse 30. But as Moses' successor, Joshua completed the work that this great leader Moses had started because God called Moses. And so through that, Moses had led Israel out of Egypt, but Joshua was going to lead them into Canaan. And that's what God called him to do. So Joshua typifies Jesus in several ways. First of all, Joshua led Israel in a limited and partial way into God's rest. Later on, Jesus Christ would do the same, only in a perfect and final way. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 8, you'll turn over there again. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day?" In this particular reference here in verse 8, this involves Joshua of the Old Testament. And again, like I said, the two names are identical in the Hebrew and the Greek. And so Joshua provided Israel with their inheritance in Joshua chapter 11 and verse 23. So Joshua took the whole land, according to all that the Lord said unto Moses, and Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel, according to their divisions by their tribes, and the land rested from war. The inheritance of the church is from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And if we look over at Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to get a workout today and some verses, but Ephesians chapter 1, and verse 11 says, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." And Romans chapter 8 and verse 17. Romans 8:17, it says, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." As Joshua followed Moses, so did Jesus Christ, but in a different way. In a different way. In John 1:17, John chapter 1, verse 17 says, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." A little different way there. And then in Galatians chapter 3, Galatians 3, verses 24 through 26 says, "But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." What that means there is that this law convicts us of sin. The law is what shows us the sin. It restrains us from sin, and it condemns us for sin. But the law cannot save us from sin. The law can reveal the sin, can show the sin, can convict us of that sin. It also condemns us of that sin, but it cannot save us from that sin. The only thing that can save us from sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. So basically, all the law does is it reveals sin. That's all it does. In 1 John 3:4, it says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." We know that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Bible. Lord tells us that. So we needed someone. The law pointed out the sin, but Jesus Christ came to save us from our sin. And then Joshua interceded for Israel when they sinned in Joshua chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. Again, Joshua intercedes for Israel here when they sin. "And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" Now this environ is to circle or surround. And Jesus intercedes for us also when we sin. Look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. First John chapter 2 in verse 1, it says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Thank God that Jesus intercedes for us. When we sin, we've got Jesus up there interceding for us. Look at Hebrews real quick, too, chapter 7 and verse 25, please. Says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Thank God he's up there and he intercedes on our behalf because, as I've said many times, we keep him pretty busy. God's people keep him very busy as he's up there interceding on our behalf, because every time we sin, Satan's up there saying, "Look, look what they just did." And Jesus Christ steps forward and says, "Guilty as charged, but it's covered under the blood." Thank God we have somebody interceding for us. He's able to save us completely and perfectly. Turn to Joshua chapter 1, please. We'll look at the first four verses and then we'll continue on from there. It says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast." The great sea, it's talking about the Mediterranean Sea when it talks about the great sea. And according to everything that I've read, everything that I've been able to find, takes place in northern Syria, the northern part of Syria, excuse me, which has been the southernmost part of the Hittite Empire. Now pick up in verse 5 and continue there. as we go, says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." Now, isn't that interesting how he tells Joshua, "I'm going to be with you. There's not any man that's ever going to be able to stand before you now. I'm going to be with you." Wouldn't that be nice if God said, "There's no one that's going to be able to stand before you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to take care of you. I will never leave thee. I'm never going to forsake thee. And let's go at this." And we look at that. We say, "God, yeah, I get that. But," right? "But I really don't want to do blank." Fill in the blank, right? "I get the fact that you'll be with me. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. But I'm willing to go here, here, and here, but not this. Or I'm willing to do this, this, and this, but not that." If we really believe God's word, and as Joshua says, you know, God said this is what's going to happen, I can take this to the bank, so to speak, I can know that this is going to happen, why do we not believe that too? If God calls you to do something, if he calls you to go somewhere, is he not going to equip you to be able to do it? Yeah. But yet we like the one I spoke about earlier, "I'll do any of this, but this one's off limits," right? What's the problem with the one that's off limits? Well, what it comes down to is we don't trust that God's going to take care of us there, right? I mean, we could say we could go anywhere. How about if God called you to the Ukraine right now where there's so much bombing and stuff going on? Well, that's not safe. Why would I go there? Well, because God said he'd take care of you. Right? People go, "Well, yeah, we could do that. Everybody stand up, and anybody who wants to volunteer, and everybody that doesn't backs up, right? So there's one person standing in the front." And that's not the way it works. God says, "Trust me." He's saying, "Trust me. I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to take care of you, and no man is going to be able to stand against you." Wouldn't it be nice if you ever had to go to war and God said, "Don't worry about them people. You can sit back on the sidelines and twiddle your thumbs," right? God's got it under control. He said, "They're not going to be able to touch me. They're not going to be able to touch me." That same God, that same exact God who has not changed and will not change, is the same God that we serve. The same God that's here in our midst today. Same guy. Hasn't changed. Pick up in verse 6. It says, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." Their fathers. He's talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He swore to them. Now let's pick up in verses 7 and read through verse 11. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it." Joshua ordered the tribal leaders, "Go throughout the camp of the people, pass the word, saying, Get these victuals, prepare enough food for the coming 3 day journey." Starting in verse 12, says, "And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession, and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan, toward sunrising. Remember, this is a mentioning to the half-tribe of Manasseh, along with the Reubenites and the Gadites. They wanted their inheritance on the other side of the Jordan River, and yet God said that they're going to have to go with their brethren to secure the other land on the other side, and then they could go back and enjoy the land that God had given them on the other side. And then 16 through 18, it says, "And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against the commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, in all that thou hast commanded him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage." So these men have decided, okay, we're going to go, we're going to do what God said, we're going to go over and we're going to help our brethren, we're going to get that land secured for them, and then we can come back and enjoy what we have. Now, I like this part where it says, according as we hearkened unto Moses in all things. Doesn't that kind of make you kind of chuckle? Because how many times did they murmur and complain about Moses? But here they're saying, according as we hearkened unto Moses in all things. How quickly we forget, right? Well, we always do everything right, right? I mean, it's us, folks, right? We don't make mistakes. We're perfect, right? But we hearken unto the word of God in all things, all the time, right? In our own mind, maybe. But I just thought that was kind of funny, the way that's put in there, that's how they answer. Yeah, we hearkened unto Moses and all the... And we're going to do the same for you. And I'm thinking, if I was Joshua, I'm sitting on the sideline going, I remember a few times when you was murmuring and complaining about Moses, and is that what I have to look forward to? Because you're going to hearken unto me just like you did Moses in all things. I don't know, I just found it kind of amusing. Again, it's just me, maybe. Joshua chapter 2 goes on. As we continue reading, we're going to see about Rahab and her family saved alive when Joshua leads Israel to take the city of Jericho. So let's look at verse 1. It says, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, set out of Shittim, two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into the harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." Rahab was possibly an innkeeper at this time. It seems that someone had found out about the men who were there and told the king of Jericho, right? It goes on in verse 2, if you see, he says, "And it was told the king of Jericho." So, apparently somebody saw what was going on. They went to the king of Jericho and said, oh, guess what? So let's keep reading there. "And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof." Now these flax plants were gathered together. They're soaked in water, and then they're dried, and then their fibers were separated and spun into threads of linen cloth. Rahab had already had this stuff prepared up there on the roof when these men showed up, the spies, right? So now she takes them up there and she says, you can hide under these, right? Who's going to look in that, right? It was common for them to do this. So they're just thinking that they're just all this flax plants that are up there and gathered together and all. So she's laid them on the rooftop. She's hidden them under these piles of the plants that she had put there to dry. Verse 7 of Joshua chapter 2, it says, and the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords, and as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. So they have guards at the town. And back then, many of these cities, and Jericho being one of them, were walled cities with gates. And at night, they would close the gates and lock them so that that would give the security to the city, right? And so they had done that. And so these soldiers are there at the gate. The men go out searching for the spies. They close the gate and lock them. They secure the city with these heavy gates that are shut at sundown for protection. Verses 8 through 15 goes on to say, and before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Verse 15, then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Sometimes these houses were built against the wall, so the outside of the house is the outside wall, which gives it more security in this place. And so this formed this thing, and it strengthens the city wall. In Joshua 2:16 through 18, as we continue on now, and she said unto them, get ye to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. The scarlet thread, which actually was more like a rope, has from the start of Christendom been interpreted as a symbol of the blood of Christ. We see this also as this rope clearly marked Rahab's house. There is a parallel here to the Passover in ancient Egypt when the death angel would come to everyone, but those houses that were marked with the blood, death came to every person in Jericho, but to the one house marked with that scarlet cord or crimson cord. Look at verses 19 through 24 of this chapter. And it says, and it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she went, and she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days, until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain, and passed over, and came to Joshua the son of Nun, and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Now God's taking care of all of this, right? Had Moses started the journey with them? Now he's raised up Joshua. Joshua's going. And now Joshua's, just like God said, is going to take care of them, right? No one's going to be able to stand against them. And they send the spies into the city, and everyone in the city is afraid of them. Interesting, isn't it? Because they've already heard about what God's done. How about God's people? How about God's people? Not only have we heard of what God has done, if you're a child of God, you have firsthand experience of what God has done in your life. God saved us. He saved us from our sin. He saved us from the penalty of our sin. God has done miraculous things. I just think since I've been at this church, look at what God's done here. Please say, well, yeah, we're still small in number, but God's using us. During the Sunday school hour, we was brought up about how much God is using this church for missions. He's using us as a conduit, by the way. It already belongs to Him. We're just giving it back to Him and letting Him use it to bring glory and honor to Himself. But it's because of Him. God took a substantial amount of debt and paid it off in a small period of time with a small amount of people. Miraculous stuff. We have seen people come and get baptized. We've seen some people that have come and joined the church. We've seen some people have gone also. But God continues to do a work here. We just need to keep our eyes on God and say, God, these great and mighty things that you're doing, instead of being terrified like these guys were in Jericho because of what could be coming, right? We should be excited about what God's doing. Because instead of being on the losing side, we're on the winning side. And basically, all it takes is a little faith. Just a little faith. That what God said He's going to do, He's going to do. Isn't it amazing how people who don't know God seem to have a stronger belief in what He can and will do than God's own people? And all it takes is faith. Thank God that Rahab realized. Says, you know what? I need to jump ship from this side and move over to this side, because this is the better side. Because God, He is God of heaven above and earth below. She realized. Thank God she did. How about us? Do we realize exactly who He is and exactly what He can and will do? Let's step out by faith. Step out by faith and just trust Him. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. Father, there's so much in it. So much that we can learn and draw us closer to You through it. Father, I pray that as You've done so many miraculous things in our lives. And all it takes is some faith to believe that you continue to want to do miraculous things in our lives. I pray, Father, this morning that we, your people, would just be willing vessels to be used of you in whatever way it is that would be your will for our lives. Father, this morning, if there's someone in our midst that's never accepted the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, I pray today would be that day. So as we have a time of invitation this morning, Father, I pray that if we're lacking faith, that we would just come before you and ask you to strengthen our faith, to increase our faith. Father, I pray that we would be found faithful. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll stand with me if you're able as the piano plays this morning. You need to come, you come. God wants to do great things in the lives of his people. We just have to, by faith, trust him. Trust him. That's what he wants. You need to come, you come.